Good morning. Now we are studying in Hebrews, and we're in what we call part two. And today we're on lesson five. And this lesson is in chapter eight. So we want to begin our study today in prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that we can't understand your truths without your guidance, without the Holy Spirit to lead us. So we just come to you, Father, asking that the Holy Spirit open up our understanding and give us knowledge and wisdom of your truths, that we may know you more, and that we may understand your word, that we may live it, and go out into the world and share it with those we come in contact with. And Father, we just want to please you, and we want to be in your will and to be conformed, to be like Jesus. So we ask you now to lead, guide, and direct us as we study together. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Thank you all for being here to study the Word today. And as we begin to look at our study today, after you have read through this eighth chapter, then you can begin to see that this chapter is concerning the covenant. And there was an old covenant and a new covenant. Now, we need first to understand what a covenant is, and then we will look at the old covenant and the new to see what the difference is between the old and the new. The writer of Hebrews makes it very clear as he goes forward in this chapter, but the definition that's given of covenant, it's a testament, a will, or a contract, and the last disposition which one makes of his earthly possession after his death to set in order. So that's what a covenant means today when we look at that word covenant. Now, God made a covenant with his people in the Old Testament. And that old covenant was a compact that was made by passing between pieces of flesh. And we're going to read about that in Genesis chapter 15, verse 7 through 12. And I'll start in the seventh verse. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess it. But he said, Lord God, how may I know that I will possess it? So he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all of these to him and cut them in two and laid each half opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds. And birds of prey came down upon the carcasses, and Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. Now going from that 12th verse to the 17th verse, 17th says, now it came about when the sun had set that it was very dark, and behold, a smoking oven and a flaming torch appeared which passed between these pieces. Now, when you look at these verses, we see that this covenant was when God spoke to Abram, and he said to him that he was the Lord God that brought Abram out of Ur, the land of the Chaldeans, to give him a land of possession. But then when Abram began to question that, he asked him how that he would know this. And that's whenever God made the covenant by telling him to take these, a 3-year-old heifer and a 3-year-old female goat and a 3-year-old ram and dove and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he told them to cut them in pieces and put them opposite of each other. So the birds of prey came down now and drove upon the carcasses, and Abram drove them away. So we see in this that God himself is making a covenant with Abram. At that time, his name was Abram and not Abraham. Later on, God changed his name to Abraham. So, as we studied back in lesson 6, we learned in that lesson that the flaming torch and smoking oven was the appearance of God, and it passed between the pieces of these animals that Abram had cut and placed on the ground. Now, let's also look at some scripture in the book of Exodus and see how that God began to work with the people of Israel, and how that he gave a covenant to them there in Israel. Let's start with chapter 34 of Exodus, verses 10 through 14. And then God said, "Behold, I am going to make a covenant. Before all your people, I will perform miracles which have not been produced in all the earth, nor among any of the nations. And all the people among whom you live will see the working of the Lord. For it is a fearful thing that I'm going to perform with you. Be sure to comply with what I am commanding you this day. Behold, I am going to drive out the Amorite from you, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Be careful that you do not make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land into which you are going, or it will become a snare in your midst. But rather, you are to tear down the altars and smash their memorial stones and cut down their asherim, for you shall not worship any other gods, because the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." So we see then in these verses that God is saying that he is going to make a covenant with them, and he's going to drive out all of these other nations, and that he says they're to tear down all of their idols and their altars, and they're only to worship him. All the way in Exodus from chapter 19 through 24, we learned about Israel and they're camping at Mount Sinai. And the Lord spoke from that mountain the Ten Commandments. And so they began to hear God's voice, but Moses spoke to God for them because they were afraid when they heard his voice. So God gave ordinances and feasts to Moses for them, and he warned them. And after Moses recounted to the people all of God's word, they entered into a covenant with God. They were to make blood sacrifices, and they were to sprinkle it on the altar. And also some was sprinkled on the people. And then Moses read the book that was written, and the people vowed to obey. Now, we see in what I read in Exodus 34, while that Moses was on the mountain, the people sinned by worshiping that golden calf which Aaron made. And so Moses broke the tablets with the Ten Commandments written on them. And so he went back to the mountain to get the second set of tablets. So what did we learn in this chapter about the Lord? We learned that he was compassionate, that he was gracious, that he was slow to anger, he was abounding in loving kindness and truth, and that he keeps loving kindness for thousands, and that he forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. And he doesn't leave the guilty unpunished. And also we learned that he visits the iniquity of the fathers on the third and fourth generation. And last, we learned that he is a jealous God. He said, whose name is jealous is a jealous God. So what was it then that Moses asked God for the people? He asked God to go in their midst and to pardon their sin. So God said that he was going to make a covenant and do miracles when he brought them into the land and to drive out their enemies. Now, his covenant was in accordance with the words Moses wrote, the Ten Commandments. And Israel was instructed to make no covenant with the nation. And as we read further in verses 33 through 35 of Exodus 34, we learned something more about Moses. And I'll read those verses starting at verse 33. This is Exodus 34. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take off the veil until he came out. And whenever he came out and spoke to the sons of Israel what he had been commanded, the sons of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. So Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went to speak with him. So here we see that Moses' face shone because he had been speaking with the Lord, and it frightened the people, so he veiled it, except when he went before the Lord. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, we see that God killed the first generation of Israel who had come out of Egypt, the ones that made who made the covenant with him at Mount Sinai. He killed them because they didn't keep his commandments. They rebelled against him, and they did not believe what God had told them. So, in the book of Deuteronomy, then Moses restated God's commandments to that second generation, and they entered into the same covenant in the plains of Moab. And he called them to be obedient, or they would be scattered from their land. Now, there were curses in the law for disobedience, and one of the curses was that they would be scattered from their land, which happened when the Babylonians came against them and destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. So Jeremiah and Ezekiel prophesied at the time of the Babylonian sieges and destruction against Jerusalem. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 through 34. And this is what God told Jeremiah to prophesy to the people. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord. This is verse 31. When I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them and write it on their heart, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each one of his neighbor and each one of his brothers, saying, Know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wrongdoing and their sin. I will remember no more. Now, these are the words. We have to go back now to Hebrews chapter 8 and look at verse 8 through 12, because these are the words that the writer of Hebrews is quoting from the book of Jeremiah to these Hebrew Christians that he is writing to now. So I want to read verses 8 through 12 so that we can see in comparison that God gave Jeremiah this word, this truth, that what he was going to do for the people to make them a new covenant. And this is what the Hebrew writer is saying, starting with verse 8. For in finding fault with the people, he says, Behold, the days are coming. Now this is quoting from Jeremiah. Says the Lord, when I will bring about a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not care about them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they will not teach each one of his fellow citizen and each one of his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful toward their wrongdoings, and their sins I will remember no longer. So what we want to look at now, this study that we're in today is about, as you've already suspected, it's about the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And in order to go forward in what the Hebrew, the writer of Hebrews is saying to these Christians that he's writing to, they need to be reminded of the Old Covenant, that he may share with them what the Lord is saying about the New Covenant. The New Covenant is going to be better than the Old Covenant. So let's look now at some things about the New Covenant. First of all, God promised to make an everlasting covenant with his people. The Old Covenant was not an everlasting covenant. So the New Covenant we're looking at, God promised his law to be written within their hearts. The Old Covenant was written on stone. And he's also saying in the New Covenant that he would forgive them of their sins and not remember them anymore. And in the New Covenant, he promised that Jerusalem would be rebuilt. And God's people, Israel, would be gathered back to their land and dwell there in safety. And so also in the New Covenant, they would have one heart and one way to fear God always, so that they wouldn't turn away, and also that God wouldn't turn away from them, and they would be restored of the things that they had lost. So we know that man's heart is deceitful and desperately sick. And God said that he would give another heart to those in the New Covenant. So what do we learn then about the difference in the Old Covenant and the New Covenant? The Old Covenant God made with Israel, and that was the law. He gave Moses the covenant that was written on stone, and that required obedience. But this was faulty. The people broke it. They couldn't keep the law. They had to make sacrifices year in and year out. The priest would have to go into the Holy of Holies and make sacrifice with the blood of an unblemished lamb to bring about forgiveness of their sins. But they would go after that, they would go right back into their sin again. And then every year, the priest would have to go in and make atonement for their sins. Now, as we look at the New Covenant, we see that we have a great high priest who is Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. He is a guarantee and a mediator. Now, let's look at the difference here. When Jesus came to this earth in the flesh, he was God himself that put on flesh in order that he might become a mediator between man and God. He came in the form of his son. And when he came in the form of his son, he went to the cross and died and took all of man's sins. And it not only covered man's sins, but it took away the sins of man. In the old covenant, the priest would go in and the blood of the lamb would, or the animal, would only cover the sins, only for a short time. And he had to go back again. But Jesus, our high priest, our mediator, when he went, it not only covered, but it took away. Why? How was this different from that which the priests in the old covenant carried into God? Whenever he carried in, it was an animal, but whenever Jesus went in, he was perfect without sin. And God accepted that sacrifice because he was perfect, because he was without sin. So Jesus was much better than the old covenant, his new covenant. It was everlasting. The old covenant had to be carried out year after year. But when Jesus went into the holy place, whenever he passed through the heavens and went and sat on the right-hand side of the Father, it was an everlasting covenant between God and the people. God accepted Jesus, the sacrifice, as an everlasting covenant. And so Jesus, we know, as he left to go away, he told his disciples, he said for them not to grieve and not to sorrow. He said, let not your hearts be troubled, because I go away to prepare a place for you, and where I go, there you may be also. And then further on in the book of John, he said, I won't leave you orphans or comfortless. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. That this is a new heart that he's talking about. And because of his blood, we can receive forgiveness, eternal forgiveness. And only can we receive this if we believe. That's why that the people in the Old Testament, that's why that the Old Covenant was of no avail. It was no good, because the people, when they got to the Promised Land, the covenant that was made, they wouldn't believe. And because of that, they couldn't enter the Promised Land. But when Jesus went and sat down on the throne by his Father, then that gave us all, the Bible says, whosoever believes upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. So it's not just for the Gentiles, not just for the Israelites, but it's for whosoever will believe. It's for Jews and for Gentiles, all into one body. We will become a part of this new covenant, we will have a new heart, as the in the book of that eighth chapter that the Hebrew writer is saying to these Hebrew believers. He goes on to say further in the scriptures, he says, but now, looking at verse 6 of chapter 8, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry by as much as he, Jesus, is the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. And as you look at this, he says, for the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion sought for a second. And in the eighth verse, he says, for finding fault with them, he says, behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not care for them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds. I will write them upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizens and everyone his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. And when he said a new covenant, he has made the first, the old covenant, obsolete. But whatever is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to disappear. And whenever we look further, as we're going to study more about the covenant in our next study, we will be looking at chapter 9, and we will also be studying now next about the tabernacle, because it's important for us to know about the tabernacle of God. But I'm going to read Hebrews verse 1. Now even the first covenant had regulations of divine worship and the earthly sanctuary. So, for there was a tabernacle prepared, the outer one, in which were the lampstand and the table and the sacred bread, and this is called the holy place. So, we'll be looking at the holy place, the tabernacle, next week in our study. I want to read in this ninth chapter, verse 11, because it's still pertaining to the high priest. It says in verse 11 of chapter 9, but when God appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation. So when God entered into the heavenlies and sat down before on the right hand of the throne of God, he did not enter into an earthly creation, but he entered into a heavenly tabernacle that was not made with hands. So, as we go into our next study into the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, the writer of Hebrews is going to help us to look at some of the Old Testament scriptures about the earthly tabernacle, and then he is going to bring out the scriptures about the heavenly tabernacle. So let us be in prayer as we study together and continue to pray that God will open our minds and give us understanding of his truths as we study. And we'll close now in prayer. Father, we do thank you for your precious word. And we do thank you, Father, that you wrote it down for us. It's written by your very finger. And Father, you entered it into the minds of those that you called to write down your word for you through your finger, through the Holy Spirit. And Father, we know that to know you, that we have to know the word. That's how that we come to know you. That's how that you speak to our hearts and how you teach us, Father, of your truths. And I just pray that everything that we've studied today, that it hasn't been scattered, but Father, that the Holy Spirit has brought it clear in our minds that we do know you more and that we will live out your word in your truth, Father, because we have a new covenant, a better covenant, a great high priest that is seated at your right side. He is our mediator. He is the one that relates, Father, everything that we say and bring before the throne to God the Father. And we just thank you that it never changes, Father, and that it's eternal. And we give you all the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.